Welcome to the Going Merry podcast, the ultimate One Piece podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am one of your co-hosts. And today, as always, I have my two co-hosts, Amanda and Whitney. Whitney, how are you today?
I'm feeling hungry today, Derek.
Hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving.
What are you hungry for?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking like a big bowl of rice with some shrimp and some tentacles. Sounds really good.
You know, you kind of had me there until the tentacle part.
made by a cook who is always smoking without using his hands.
You can taste the tobacco in the tentacles.
Ashy.
Amanda, how about you today?
I'm hungry too. That ashy tentacles doesn't sound good though. Octopus is very nice though, if you've ever had it.
I have not had octopus. I've always wanted to try it.
It's good if it's grilled.
Interesting. And then we also have a special guest host today, John from the Gamma Analysis Podcast. John, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm also hungry, but I'm hungry for something that I had in a dream last night, which was I had a dream where I went to this special meal thing where they were giving me all these kinds of desserts that were really well made, like five-star restaurant desserts. It was like, wow, this is amazing.
I feel like some of those just try a little bit too hard for me. Like, I'd prefer a cookie over something extravagant. Maybe that's just me.
You don't like gold leaf on all your desserts?
I don't even know what the hell gold leaf is.
Listen to the name of it. Gold leaf.
Is this like a leaf that falls off a tree and it's yellow or something? Like,
no, it's just like little paper. Like, it sticks
like flakes
stuff.
Of gold. It's yeah. Actual gold. It's
don't
like
they have
Goldschlager. Have you ever?
I was just going to say, yeah, is it like a Goldschlager?
Fancy alcohol. Yeah.
Who hasn't loved the movie Superbad? Actually, I'm not a big fan of that movie myself.
I am a big fan, but I watched it pretty recently and I was like, ooh.
Like, it doesn't age well, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
It really didn't. Like, some of it still makes me laugh a lot, but other parts I'm like, ooh, why'd you say that? But.
It reminds me of how I feel about This Is the End, and most of the film just does not age well at all for me, but there is one moment in the film I still laugh out loud with, which is the exorcism of Jonah Hill.
That's my favorite part too. I laugh every time. But I think they're made by the same people.
Sure it is. It was the same era,
and
same
I'm not a big fan of Jonah Hill as an actor. Like, there's a couple things I like him in, but most shit he's in, I'm like, yeah, I don't really care.
Well, we're used to your wrong opinion, so.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. No, never mind. Never mind. It was Amanda that just agreed with me on Margot Robbie prior to recording. Amanda and I agree.
I don't feel any type of way about Margot Robbie. I don't love her hate. Yeah, I'm like indifferent. I do like her as a person in interviews. Like, she's a huge Harry Potter nerd, which I think is really funny and cool. Like, she's over the top.
Oh, that's cool. Harry Potter,
which is cool. But like, she seems super nice. But I mean, acting wise, I don't care either way.
I don't know why. I like really nerdy actors. Like, you know, like Henry Cavill is a huge nerd, and I love that about him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about him too.
Yes. All of that knowledge.
All that big brain of his.
Whitney, ooh, quit talking about his big head.
We'd eat corn off of him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I'd like to have some corn right now on Henry Cavill's brain. Now, that was just weird. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we are really on it this week.
Professional.
Exactly. Oh, well, fuck it. So this week, before we get into the episodes, John has been watching One Piece along with us. So John, I just want to know, what are your thoughts so far?
I enjoy it a lot. I think my out of the main characters, my least favorite is Luffy. He's he's so annoying to me. He's like he's that he is the definition of the little shit kid who just annoys everybody.
That's fair. I mean, that's definitely
my I think at the start, I think my favorite character was Zoro. He seems he's very much he's a little kind of like how I see Hulk, in that people think of him as angry, but really he has a big heart. But as the show's gone on, I think I like Nami the best. Her personality is just so much is so fun, and I love how she just does not take shit from anyone.
Whitney about had a spit take there.
Yeah, sorry. I had to mute so I don't spit my coffee out. Whew. We appreciate your opinions, John. Continue.
Yo, I'm wondering, and Derek, what made you choose these five episodes for me to join?
There's a very particular part in episode 24. Or a good chunk of episode 24.
Okay.
But I was like, you know, just kind of talking with you and thinking about the kind of stuff you like and everything. I was like, you know what? I think John could dig that part.
The reason I mainly ask is I feel like these episodes, I feel like a lot of the stuff I'll end up agreeing with you guys because these aren't like very like divisive episodes, I don't think. I honestly think I probably would have had like the more differing opinions and making it for a more interesting podcast if you guys had had me on for the last five episodes before this.
Okay,
for the main reason of I hate the word filler, because I love when episodes just let loose and are like, we don't have to have to do with the main plot, we can just just go and have some fun and do something ridiculous. And like with the comic book shows, I love those like Monster of the Week or Villain of the Week episodes, because they let you go more into like deep cut villains and so you would never be able to get it in a normal like episode that has to do with the main plot. So I think like the last five episodes would have been a very interesting one if you guys added me on for that one.
I will definitely keep that in mind for the future, for sure.
Especially since I loved the Gaimon character.
The scrub brush.
he was hilarious to me.
Well, so there is a John, you might like this isn't for a little while. There is a filler arc later. I don't know if you've ever seen the Dragon Ball abridged videos on YouTube.
No, I have not.
So they're essentially spinoffs, I guess, remakes of Dragon Ball Z, except these guys, so the guys that write it is a group called the Four Star Group, and they make everything extremely vulgar and they make all of the characters extremely stupid. So there are videos on YouTube and they're really, really funny. So you might look them up, but there is an arc that it's a filler arc down the road. And the anime writers of One Piece brought in the Four Star Group to write this filler arc.
Interesting.
And so it's probably the best filler arc in all of One Piece. So it's like 10 episodes or something like that they did. They're really, really good episodes, and it makes a lot of people mad that it is considered filler just because they're so good. So we'll talk about that more when we get there. You know, and I'll talk to Whitney and Amanda and see if they actually want to do those, or if we want to just pass them. You know, we'll see when we get there.
Understandable.
So this week we did episodes 21 through 25. So, John, you kind of already talked about it a little bit. What were your thoughts on these episodes?
I enjoyed them a lot. I'm not sure how I feel yet about Sanji joining the team, because he's a character that I go back and forth on of whether I really like him or not. At some points, I particularly within the first of the five episodes that we did, I was like, at the start of it, I was like, yeah, this guy really seems like an asshole. And then later in the episode, I'm like, maybe not. But I'm still not sure. But I did really enjoy the episodes. I think throughout the five episodes, my favorite character, because I just found him funny as hell, is Patty. He was so much fun in the episodes. I also really enjoyed Zeph, I think Zeph, is his name.
Yeah, Chef Zeph.
He was great. I think this was a lot of fun. It was interesting, this restaurant arc, and I'm very very interested to see if this is like how much longer this arc goes after these five episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Whitney, what were your thoughts on these five episodes?
I enjoyed them. I like the restaurant. A lot of people in these episodes get on my nerves really easily. And I have to say, Patty gets on my nerves pretty bad. Sorry, John.
I love that.
It's all right.
Oh, man. Between me and Patty, we are going to butt so many heads.
Yeah,
here.
I'm pretty sure just about everything, Whitney and I are just going to be complete opposite opinions.
Yeah. Like, when you said you liked Gaimon, I was like, oh, here we go. I was really interested to see two people show up that we had heard about that sounded really menacing. You know, we got to meet is it Krieg?
Don Krieg.
Who sounded really nefarious, you know, when they talked about him, and then he showed up and he really was a huge threat. And then we heard about Hawkeye and we got to meet him, and I feel like we learned quite a bit more about the Grand Line. We're getting closer to that. We're learning a lot of information about it, because we've now met two people that have been there and came back. Three. So, well, who's the third? I'm thinking of Krieg.
Hawkeye, Zeph, and Krieg.
Okay, yes, three. Sorry. Hawkeye, I just kind of assumed he lived there. I don't know. But I guess, yeah, he counts as well. So, like, it's survivable, you know, because at first you're like, is this even a trip that you could come back from, because they say it's so dangerous and everybody keeps warning Luffy, like, you really don't want to go there, it's really bad news. And we'll talk about this later in the later episodes, but I can't remember who mentions it, but as you get closer to the Grand Line, people who have devil fruit powers are very common. You're going to start seeing these people show up more and more, so I'm really excited about that, because so far we've only seen Luffy and
Buggy,
the clown pirate, and I think that's it. Like, there's other people who have really cool powers, like Sanji's kicks and acrobatics that he's doing are really crazy. You know, Hawkeye, I don't know, like, he's got some really interesting powers. It makes me wonder if there's something else going on with him. But yeah, I'm excited to see where it's going. And I like that we're getting a little information each set of five episodes.
Yeah, for sure. And you're definitely right. Once they get to once you hit the Grand Line, devil fruits are a lot more common. And I'm not exaggerating when I say there are certain crews that have minimum 20 to 30 devil fruit users. Like,
wow.
It ends up being a lot of people. Now, some of the powers are really awesome and some of them are really freaking stupid.
Like, how mad would you be if you took a risk as a pirate? Like, imagine a whole crew of pirates who took devil fruit and couldn't swim after that. Like, that's a huge risk, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're looking high risk, high reward, maybe. Because how mad would you be if you ate one and you just, like, were able to, like, I don't know, do something really stupid. What's like a stupid power you could have? Like, turn your fingers into toothbrushes. Like, how mad would you be if that was the power you got?
The tooth fruit.
Brush. that's your only like, I don't know.
And all it takes is one Hawkeye to come by and your ship sank and you have nowhere to go and you can't swim.
Yeah. And toothbrushes are useless.
I feel like the most likely chance of people like having like an entire fleet of people with devil fruit is if you have a situation like with Don Krieg where they're where everyone is so afraid of him that if they know that if they don't do what he says, he's just gonna kill them. So the fear of drowning it becomes a lot less so when you're worrying if your boss is gonna kill you if you don't eat this devil fruit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep, absolutely makes sense. Amanda, you're waiting so patiently. What do you think of these episodes?
I wasn't expecting for the restaurant arc, I guess, to go into this many episodes, but I don't have an issue with it. It's just that more things have popped up than I guess I thought we're going to, and we met a lot of characters in this section, so it definitely kept things eventful. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we met Hawkeye like we were talking about, and then it seems the general kind of idea that I got from this section was that the Grand Line is a dangerous place. That seemed like it was a point that was reiterated at least like 3 times mm-hmm. in this section. And then yeah, some of the characters were also kind of making me question why they were seemingly more powerful than regular people but not devil fruit eaters. Because mm-hmm. I know we've seen people with kind of more superhuman strength pop up here and there, but I think because in this group there was a few different people who had kind of powers like that, I was like, mm-hmm. what's going on here? Because Sanji's kicking, and
then you got Zoro being an absolute badass,
right? And then everybody just seems like a little bit stronger than regular people in this bunch, so mm-hmm. like even Patty and Zeff too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Same. Yep.
So I gotta say, so I watched these episodes in 2 different spurts. One night I watched 3 episodes, and the other night I watched 2 more. And after I got done watching the 3, so I watched 21 through 23, and you know, of course, I knew 24 was Hawkeye and Zoro, but when I watched these first 3 and knowing what 24 was, I was like, yeah, this is the best group of 5 we've watched so far. and then 25 hit, and I was like, like when we got to 25, I was like, so I'm not sure if I'm just not a big fan of 25, or is just like comparing it to the first 4. Like the first 4, there was a lot of buildup and a lot of action, and then 25, episode 25 just kind of fell off a little bit for me. So I don't know if maybe I don't like it because I'm comparing it to the other 4, or if, you know, it's just really not much going on there and I just wasn't a big fan of it. So I don't know. But yeah, the first 4 I love a lot more than the last one for sure.
Well, I wonder if like the fight between Hawkeye and Zoro was so interesting because they were so not evenly matched, but they were both very skilled mm-hmm. fighters. And then you know, that's really, and you go through this heartbreaking scenario where you think Zoro is not going to make it. And then you go to the next episode and the Pearl Man shows up and it's like, okay. Well, so the story is not over, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it left on a very big cliffhanger again.
Yeah.
For this week, but.
That's a good cliffhanger this week.
Yeah, it was really a good cliffhanger. And so maybe where where we were so hyped up for that one and it was so interesting. And then the next one was just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a funny battle that wasn't too high stakes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, do we want to dive right into episode 21?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will go ahead and read the summary here. Sanji continues to put Full Body in his place while Zeff and Luffy come barging in through the wall. The cooks of the Baratie quickly demonstrate that they run their restaurant with aggression and demand respect. A hungry pirate with no money gets his ass whooped and thrown out. Sanji shows that he has a soft side to match his aggressiveness and gives the starving pirate some food. Luffy watches the whole situation unfold and quickly offers Sanji a spot on the crew. Sanji declines, and him and Luffy get into an argument of stubbornness. The starving pirate reveals himself as Gin, a member of the Don Krieg Pirates. Back in the kitchen, the cooks discuss Don Krieg as one of the most fearsome pirates on the seas, commanding over 50 pirate captains and 5,000 pirates. In the meantime, Luffy is proving he is awful at any sort of manual labor. Sanji goes crazy over Nami's beauty, and Zeff interrupts, telling Sanji to go with the Straw Hats. His services are no longer needed at the Baratie. So, right off the bat, Amanda, any quick thoughts on episode 21?
The very first thing that I noticed, and I'm bringing this back to, I think I made a comment last week about food service. Mr. Patty here went to the bathroom, took care of business, did not take his apron off. You were definitely supposed to do that when you go to the bathroom.
See, Patty sucks.
I know. I was like, oh my God, this man, this is gross. Get a new apron, bro. But yeah, I mean, this one wasn't too bad. It was I wouldn't say it was the slowest episode of the arc, but I didn't have too many notes on this one. The other thing that kind of stood out, we got to see Krieg's ship, and it looked like the Cave of Wonders for a second there. I don't know if it's because of the like tiger situation that was on the front of it, but that was interesting to kind of see what his whole operation was looking like.
Yeah, when we saw it in this episode, I really thought it was a cave. Like, I didn't even know it was a ship.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Not at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think this episode was a lot of, you know, more introduction to Sanji and Zeff while also being some, you know, build up in the later half to Krieg, for sure. Whitney, what did you think about this episode?
I agree. It wasn't super action packed. I'm glad this Karen, Full Body got put in his place. I mean, he was so, I'll shut this restaurant down. I'm like, wow, this was like before the time of Karens, and they had it nailed.
This guy's a dick.
Yeah, he was a jerk. I don't know what the obsession is about farting in this series. There was what is his name? You guys, I'm terrible with names. The new pirate, Gin.
Okay.
When he comes in and he's like, I'm starving, and sits at the table, and Patty's like, I can hear your stomach grumbling from here. And Gin says, that was a fart, jerk.
Yeah, that's right.
That is such weird dialogue out of these people, but, I kind of like Sanji, at least at first, because he seems like he has, you know, some integrity. He's like, I became a chef to feed people. That's my duty, and I'm going to do it no matter who it is. And you see that later on, too. The only thing I didn't like about him, because he seemed like such a badass, and like he was, you know, he took the high moral ground even when nobody else wanted him to. And then he like fawns over Nami, like a little kid. Like, he's just heart eyes, and you know, offering to give her food for free, and of course, knowing Nami, as greedy as she is, she's like,
she's gonna take advantage of it.
I don't have enough money to pay.
Might as well.
Don't worry, it's free. And I mean, good for her as a female. If you can get away with that, do it. But like, I didn't peg him for that kind of guy, I guess. So goofy over a girl, but okay. Yeah, other than that, like, I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe Gein is gonna, you know, keep his word, and you know, that'll be the last we see of him. And then there at the end, he goes back to the ship, which I also didn't realize was a ship at first. And I'm like, well, you know, I keep forgetting that these people are pirates and that they're not inherently good people all the time. So I was like, well, of course he's going to go back on his word and bring Krieg back to the restaurant. So I was kind of expecting it to be much more of like a bloodbath, because they talked about Krieg. They hyped him up so much and they were like, he has the biggest fleet. He has 5,000 sailors or whatever it is. So I was expecting it to be really bad. And then it kind of turned a little bit, because we didn't realize, or at least I didn't realize, he was going to be starving and his ship was going to be almost destroyed.
Torn apart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on Sanji. Like, and it's funny because with the lady that Full Body was with, like, Sanji was flirting with her a little bit too, and he was, like, very composed and, you know, smooth, I guess you would say.
Yeah,
he but was then smooth. Like,
he wasn't like a cartoon from Looney Tunes.
Exactly. But then as soon as Nami pops in the picture, like, he just completely loses it. And I remember,
it's the red hair. It's the red hair.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, I was like, which one is normal Sanji?
Right. I'm hoping not that one, because that's, we only see that for a minute. Mm. Oh, and I didn't talk about this either, which John may be going to bring it up, but like, Luffy as a worker is not great. Like, they're like, okay, you're going to be a chore boy for a year or whatever. And he just sits in a chair and picks his nose for like 5 minutes.
I know.
And then when they do get him to work, he eats the food off the plates. He breaks all the plates while he's washing them. He puts a booger in Zoro's drink, which is so disgusting.
That's one of my favorite parts of the whole episode.
Well, I was really mad until Zoro was like, haha, and made him drink it. And then I was like, okay, you get what you deserve.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite gags in the whole episode for sure. Because like, Zoro's just about to drink it, and then he just shoves it down Luffy's. Oh, it was hilarious. John, what did you think about this first episode?
I liked it. So I liked that Sanji is willing to give a starving man and food, but I don't think that guy deserved to get food. As like, he's you don't deserve food if you're going to like, you shoot one person coming into the restaurant and then threaten the waiter to is shooting them as payment. That you don't deserve food then, I don't think.
I forgot he shot that guy. You're right. He shot a guy right before he came in.
Like, I definitely think Patty was very much in the right with how he treated Gein in there. This guy, I should not be trying this to threaten his and the people supposed to, who are going to save his life. I think my favorite part of the episode had to be just like with Derek, when the rest of the crew is just making fun of him of Luffy for being a chore boy. That was so much fun on the watch. There was some one scene where I was like, this doesn't really make much sense to me, which was where Sanji like throws a plate and cup in the water, and he's like, oh, if there's no evidence, then then no one can yell at me. Your boss is staring at you as you do this. I think he knows that you did this.
Zeph was like looking right at him, and I think actually he definitely knew Zeph was there too, for sure. Like, and I think you'll notice, and like we saw it in these episodes here, that while sure Zeph likes all of his cooks and everything like that, him and Sanji just have a bit of a different relationship than the others. Like, and I think Sanji and Zeph understand each other more than anybody else does. I think a lot of Sanji's attitude he gets from Zeph.
Well, yeah, I think Zeph raised him, basically.
Yep.
And I loved all of the chaos and arguing by everyone in the restaurant staff. That was a lot of fun. And also just as how Luffy just keeps destroying more stuff in the restaurant was a lot of fun. And I like destruction. Finally, I think this is the last note I had for the first rest of the five episodes is that with a little help from the order of appearances list in this episode from the wiki, I found out that there's a panda man in the episode, and I found him. He appears right before Jin shot the Marine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, I did not see him.
Mm-hmm. Me either.
Huh. Okay. I knew there was one in this arc somewhere. I was thinking it was later, but okay. I just had one quote from this episode, and it was something that I laughed for quite a while over. Like, the Zoro booger drink thing, that made me laugh for sure. But the other thing was when Luffy was doing dishes and Patty said, "Chore boy, just how many of these dishes have you broken into tiny pieces?" And Luffy just goes, "You know what? I forgot to count."
What an idiot.
No, it was the dumbest possible response. I was like, that's freaking awesome.
It almost seemed like he was doing it on purpose there. After
exactly.
Like you wash it for a while and throw it down. Wash it, throw it.
That's one thing that honestly in these episodes I'm still not quite clear on. So it's obvious that Luffy is terrible at manual labor, like I kind of mentioned and like we've all discussed a little bit. And the thing that confuses me, I'm not sure if he's doing it on purpose or not. Like, is he doing it on purpose trying to break stuff? So Zeph's like, you know what? No, get out. You're causing me more damage. Or is he actually trying to help and he's just that bad at it? So I'm kind of on the fence as to which one it might be.
I wonder if he just doesn't care, you know? Like, he's just like, yeah, it is what it is. If I throw this down, it's going to break. That's how it's supposed to go. Like, he's so oblivious to his surroundings. I've said this before, but he just not concerned in the least bit. And, you know, he never gets really upset unless you threaten his hat or talk bad about Shanks or attack one of his friends or talk about taking over the Grand Line instead of him. That's what makes him really angry, right?
Yeah, that last one fits in there for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of attacking his friends, I want to... How long has it actually been since they Zoro's two doofus friends and joined the ship? Because Luffy really seems like seems to act like they've been here this whole time. With how he acts towards them in these episodes.
Honestly, my guess is a day at most, like not long.
Just a couple episodes ago, and I forgot they were surprising. There.
It surprises me, like, how protective Luffy is over these two that he just met.
So,
I guess he, like, views him as part of his crew, right? Because they know Zoro. Well,
the thing is, he doesn't say that they are part of the crew when someone mentions how he has this many crew members. He counts Usopp and Sanji as part of them, but he doesn't count them as far as Johnny. When he was asked about it.
Yeah, Johnny and Yosuke, he does not consider crew members. Because, yeah, I mean, at this point, yeah, they're just kind of tagging along. They're not crew members. But, yeah, no, it would not be a long period of time. I'll go ahead and say it now. But, like episode 500 or something like that, around that point when it was coming out, Oda confirmed that from the start of the show to that point in time takes place over 4 months of show time. Wow. So all of this is happening very, very quick. There's not much space in between the time in these episodes at all.
Kind of similar to, but to a much more insane degree, to how Breaking Bad, all of the seasons takes place within a year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, like, it's very possible that Luffy went from Alvida in episode one all the way through the Marine Fort with Zoro and to Orangetown within a day. Like, that would not shock me at all. And then we know that he was only in Surt Village for, you know, with Usopp for, I think, 2 days, because they only showed that one night. So, like, all of this has happened, like, at this point in time, since the beginning of the show, it's definitely less than a week. So, yeah, everything happens very, very quickly. Anything else on episode 21 before we move on to 22?
Nope.
No? Okay.
We're getting closer to Zoro territory. Let's go.
Off in the distance from the Baratier, a ship approaches. The ship of Don Krieg. Gin carries Don Krieg into the Baratier and begs that they feed his captain. All of the cooks refuse to serve him, but Sanji again steps up. After Krieg finishes the meal, he quickly lays Sanji out. Patty whips out a rocket launcher and shoots Krieg at point blank, but it does nothing. Krieg reveals that it is essentially full body armor. But when he realizes that Zeff is the legendary Redfoot Zeff, Krieg freezes in his tracks. So not a whole lot happened in this episode, honestly. Like, there was a lot of talking that didn't really mean a whole lot. I will go ahead and say one thing that I was not a big fan of these first two episodes was they really harp on the whole Sanji will feed anybody thing. Like, the first time I was like, okay, I get it. You know, Sanji does not want anybody to starve. Whatever, that's cool. I get that. But then they do it three more times and he does the speech. You know, it's like a 5-minute speech he's done three or four times now in the past two episodes. And I'm like, all right, come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's move on from this. I get it. that was kind of annoying me. But other than that, like, I was good with this episode. So, John, we'll start with you. What were your thoughts on episode 22?
Firstly, you mentioned, like, the Sanji feeding everyone there. I was very annoyed by it in the first episode because this guy definitely did not deserve the food after how he acted inside the restaurant. But this one, at first, afterwards, I didn't agree with Sanji giving it to him. But at first, I actually was thinking that this was a really smart thing for Sanji to do, because I was thinking, if the choices are either feed Don Krieg and possibly make it so that he could be in your debt, or make it that he might see you as an ally, or send him off to be imprisoned by the Marines. I think I think the smarter thing is to feed him, because if you send him off to get be imprisoned and he somehow breaks out, you know he's coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be that. I think that would be like even more terrifying. But obviously, after feeding him, that's obvious. He does not see it as an ally or being in debt to him. So I very quickly changed my opinion on that. But I did find that very interesting. So I liked this episode. I had a lot of fun, like, with Patty's Meatball of Doom cannon.
Yes.
It was great. Don Krieg's his hairstyle made me think of a gorilla while looking at him.
It does, yeah. I get it.
One day, like, during the episode, I think it might have been Usopp who says, like, why is this taking so long? Why won't Luffy just let us leave instead of paying this debt? And it's like, Well, if you wanted to leave sooner, you know, you could offer to help Luffy with paying the debt by helping work out too to make it go quicker.
Yeah, Usopp doesn't do anything. Fuck Usopp.
I thought of Derek so much during this episode because he told us, I think last week, that he hated Usopp so much.
I do.
I can definitely understand hating Usopp.
No help whatsoever. Yeah, he just literally shook in his boots and whined about it the whole time. He didn't do anything. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, he sucks again.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope at some point Oin Usopp redeems himself and doesn't just suck. But he is definitely a very weak part of the crew.
Be lovely, wouldn't it, John?
The hell? Those are some damn massive forks and spoons and butter knives that the other employees are pointing at Sanji. It's really funny to me. I wonder what exactly they use all of those for. I had two quotes from this episode. This is one of the only episodes where it's basically all dialogue the episode. Which would you guys rather I say those now or at the end? Since I know you guys like to save quotes for at the end.
I mean, I already gave one of mine. I feel like we kind of do a little bit of both. So you can do whatever you want.
Okay. They aren't really ones that mean anything, so I'll just say now. I might have broken the door, or I hope Zeph doesn't yell at me again. I found funny, and then are you a chef or a comedian? Because your jokes are lame, and that dessert was terrible, the worst I ever had. The final note I had for this episode was that. Don Krieg Thanos with that suit and gauntlet?
He looks
I'm so glad you said that. I thought exactly that. I wrote Thanos, anyone? It looks so similar.
About all I have for this episode. There's not a lot, I don't think, really to say actually about this episode because it was all dialogue.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. And honestly, I mean, like, a decent amount of it was not necessarily super important. Like, I think it was more build up of Sanji's character still. And build up of Krieg, I think, you know. So like it's important, I think, to the show, but I just don't think it was anything necessarily that you know needed to be talked about, I guess. But Amanda, what were your thoughts on episode 22?
Sort of similar to both of you guys so far. We definitely got more of Sanji's moral compass here with the whole feeding everyone regardless of what they've done, which it's nice in theory, but then the rest of the crew is also weighing this decision with, you know, if we feed Krieg's entire crew, then they're going to recover and then they're going to attack us. So what are you going to do here? I mean, that's a choice that you have to make. And it just seemed, I mean, Sanji just, I don't think he had any sort of debate there. He would have fed them no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about that, but they did have to have conflict. So bringing the crew back to a healthy status was, I guess, the way that they went with it. The only other thing I think was just that meatball cannon was so silly. It was a shrimp. And then I was thinking meatballs, but it's a shrimp. I don't know how we're doing that. I mean, you can have shrimp meatballs, but.
I was kind of hoping it would be an actual meatball shot out of it instead of a rocket, but that's just me. Like you said, I don't know why they even called it a meatball if it's a shrimp cannon with metal coming out of it.
If I had to guess, I would say that's probably like I'm guessing each one of us watched the dub version. I'm guessing that's like what they were like it might not have been a great translation of what, mm-hmm. what actually was said originally.
That happens every once in a while. And so it's kind of funny. One of the things that I like about the dub version is that there are certain times where if something is translated odd or the people that are in charge of dubbing feel like they can make it better, they will change the line slightly. You know, they'll change it to where it still means the same thing, but it's just a joke instead of what mm-hmm. it actually was, you know. I think if you watch the dub version, I think you get a few more jokes in dub than you do sub. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to say a ton, but I think every once in a while you do. So who knows? You might be right. The meatball cannon might be one of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Amanda, anything else on this episode?
No, that was it.
Okay. Well, last and least, Whitney.
So, I think I agree with what everybody has said so far, that this wasn't super action-packed and like there weren't a ton of important things, but I did think that it did a couple things that were important, like showing the character of Sanji and also to introduce Krieg to the story and mm-hmm. and his true intentions and what was getting ready to happen, and also to introduce there at the end to let us know that the head chef is a former pirate and that he is very well known, and he's a force to be reckoned with, because when Krieg finds out that he's Redfoot Zef, he seems a little scared and taken aback. You know, he, like, I can't remember who said it earlier, but kind of stops dead in their tracks, like,
oh yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really interesting to me. But other than that, not a ton of action, just, you know, the silliness. I know I also loved the Meatball of Doom. But, you know, this restaurant is kind of silly in itself, right? Like, it's a fish. It kind of has that giant fish mm-hmm. head at the front, and it's a restaurant on the ocean. How does that even work, you know?
I mean, in one of the episodes, like, Don Krieg and his crew are just like, you know, oh, the reason we should take that is because it's just so ridiculous. No one would imagine we're are actually a pirate crew.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's true, but how quick until the word gets out, hey, if you see a giant fish boat, it's a pirate. Don't let them in. I mean, word will spread, right? But, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. That's the nature of the beast. But other than that, I noticed that Sanji was on one of the wanted posters again, so... You know, I know he's already been asked to join the crew and he's been very resistant, like everybody else, except for Usopp. I guess he was all about it, but I don't know.
Usopp didn't expect to join the crew. Uh-oh.
He didn't expect it, true, but he was like, no hesitation. I'm there, you know?
Luffy's first mistake is captain.
Yeah. That's his first mistake, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying, he's done a lot of dumb shit, but most of it's paid off.
Well, that's fair. The only question I had with this episode was the Krieg's pirates are all starving, but they say they have tons of money. Why are they starving?
I don't know.
First place to come upon? Like, if the Grand Line is so far away, surely there'd be something to stop at before they got to that restaurant, right? Like, why would they not have any food? It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where the Baratie is. And maybe it's the fact that because of the fact that they're pirates, maybe they couldn't find a lot of places that would serve them. But at the same time, they're pirates. Just, they already tried to take it anyway. Mm-hmm. Frickin' take it anyway. So, I don't know. Yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense to me either.
Well, I mean, even if they had stopped at an island, they could forage, you know, mm-hmm. like, I know they're weak and tired, but surely they could eat like some fruit and then get enough energy to hunt something. I don't know. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess this is just furthering the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hadn't resorted to cannibalism yet.
Well, I don't know. There were only 100 left.
They might have. Maybe they did. There was one thing I caught in this episode, which I absolutely loved. It really made me laugh because, like, it, you know, I've talked about before, I really like some of the reactions that we get, like the devil teeth and stuff like that, and the massive white eyes, you know, when someone's upset about something. Whenever Krieg's shit pulled up, did I say shit? I think I did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Whenever Krieg's ship.
Derek, everything you say is shit.
Okay, I walked into that one.
Don Krieg has been in riding on the giant shit from Usopp's op story.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Whenever his ship pulls up, it shows like a quick flash of like Usopp and Nami, and I think Zoro standing right there too. But if you, they're like all on the Baratie, like standing outside on the balcony. But if you look in the background, like off in the distance, you can see the Mary, and it shows Johnny and Yosuke on the Mary, and their reactions are amazing. Like their mouths dropped to like their belly button. And so like I think I paused it right there to write stuff down, and I looked up and I saw them in the background. I was like, oh fuck yes. But yeah, so their reactions to the ship pulling up was absolutely hilarious to me. Yeah, that was all I had on episode 22. Does anyone else have anything before we move on?
No.
Okay, cool. So we will move on to episode 23. It is a quite lengthy summary, so my bad. A lot of shit happened in this episode, though. A battle of words takes place between Zeff and Krieg. Zeff calls out that Krieg is coming out of a battle that he lost, even though everyone is under the impression that Krieg is unbeatable. Krieg reveals the history of Redfoot Zeff, who was known for only using his feet in battle, but is now a leg short, and who couldn't keep up anymore, even if he wanted to. Krieg reveals that he is after Zeff's logbook from the year that he spent on the Grand Line and came out of it unscathed. Krieg reveals that his entire fleet was wiped out in only 7 days on the Grand Line. Luffy steps in to make sure Krieg knows that if he's looking for a fight, Luffy is going to be his opponent. Krieg warns that he is going to go feed his men, and anyone who is still there when he gets back will be killed. Let's see. On the ship, Johnny and Yosuke try to get Nami's attention, but she's distracted, staring at a wanted poster. Gin reveals that it was a single man who took out their fleet. Based on his horrific description, Zeff states that it has to be Hawkeye Mihawk. Zoro then reveals that tracking down Hawkeye is the main reason that he set out to sea. Everyone on the Baratie is filled with fear at the discussion of Mihawk and the Grand Line. Luffy, however, is full of excitement and pure joy. As Krieg's crew finishes their meals and gain their energy back, a man is coming over the horizon. The Krieg pirates begin their charge at the Baratie, but with a single swing of his sword, the man sinks the Krieg ship. Amidst the chaos, Nami stole all of the treasure and the Going Merry, leaving the rest of the crew behind. All anyone can focus on, though, is the approach of the world's greatest swordsman, Hawkeye Mihawk. So, I absolutely loved this episode, but I'm going to let other people go first. Whitney, what did you think of this episode?
I also love this episode. It was very tense because we see this new character showing up, because we think everything's about to go terribly because Krieg's pirates are just going to demolish the place, right? Mm-hmm. And then this other character shows up and totally takes us by surprise. And there were a couple things. I already said this, but Usopp is just completely useless. Like, if there's not a slingshot or a cannon involved, why is he there? He's just like there for the stories, I guess. But I thought it was really great that Zoro and he showed up to help. I totally forgot. Is it Yasuko? Or what was his name? Yosuke?
I think so. Now I'm forgetting Johnny and Yosuke. Yosuke, that's what it is.
Johnny and the scurvy guy is what I wrote. I just, for all of my notes,
I just called them the two doofuses.
That works.
The two doofuses. That's great. I totally forgot they were there until they popped up and were like, Nami's, you know, run off. But one thing I wanted to get your all's opinion on, it was such a weird situation. I was like, what just happened? Was when they're both like laying on the stairs, the Johnny and Yosuke, whatever. And they both fall to the ground and you can't see them, but you hear a smooch. It's like,
yeah.
And then you see a heart pop up.
Yeah.
And then they both get up and start gagging. What just happened?
I'm pretty damn sure they kissed.
But, I think they did too.
But I was very like, what? When I saw that scene too, mainly because of the heart emoji, because I was like, what? Why? Yeah, why like, did we need the heart emoji here?
Maybe they love each other. I don't know.
Like that.
But it just totally took me by surprise. It was something I wasn't expecting to happen.
Yeah, like it just felt really out of place to me. When we saw that happen.
They're so goofy, and I guess that's part of the goofiness. Like, what are these guys about? I don't know. Hate Nami, God. Like, I don't know what I was expecting because she's never supported piracy, but she stuck with them, and you think that in some instances she's like, you know, cares about them because she sees that they're doing good things and Luffy actually is a good person, and then she does this. Like, she's all she cares about is that treasure, which she's more of a pirate than they are, I feel like. Mm-hmm. in a real sense. But I'm fine if she's gone, who cares? But I was excited to see Hawkeye show up. It seemed like he was going to be very powerful and interesting, which he did turn out to be. And it was weird to see Zoro get kind of flustered for the first time. He was very nervous about meeting this guy. I didn't really understand why until he gets introduced as a really good swordsman, or the best swordsman. My favorite quote from this whole set of five was in this one, and it was by Zoro. And he says, I made my choice, so I'm the only one who gets to call me stupid. And I thought that was really cool. And then he proceeded to call Usopp stupid, which I loved.
Well, I mean, it fits.
Yeah.
John, what did you think of this episode?
I enjoyed this episode. And we get Don Krieg starting to use the missiles from his suit. I was like, so he's not only a Thanos, he's also Iron Man.
I know.
Suit. I wrote immediately when Don Krieg mentioned that he's trying to get the One Piece rule the pirates. I wrote, I know that he just fucked up by saying that in front of Luffy. I really loved when Zoro just elbows O's Usopp up like while they're on the stairs. I thought that was really funny. I love how throughout these episodes, Sanji just keeps repeatedly refusing being a part of the crew, even though Luffy has already decided he is. That just makes me laugh every time. One thing I find to be very surprising in the episode is how on Don Krieg's ship the rope ladder is able to hold both Don Krieg and 100 mules. That's one strong rope ladder.
Mm-hmm. Especially with all that metal.
Yeah.
You were going to say the surprising thing was that you hated Nami in this episode. That was just, that's what I was expecting to come out of your mouth.
Yeah. So before Zeff said that it's some guy named Hawkeye, the silhouettes in the flashback looked to me like it was Luffy's mentor Shanks.
Oh, okay.
Which which was very interesting to me. I wrote a joke down. It's not aside from the episode, but just out of my head. I said that Don Krieg's ship just got fruit ninja'd.
I mean, it's fair. Yeah, it did. Absolutely.
And I did not expect Nami to sail away, but honestly, I think good for her. Honestly, probably the smartest thing she could do in this situation because of Hawkeye being there. But also, I think that she did have some thought into doing it. Though she didn't actually know about Hawkeye being there, I think she probably thought that Luffy and Zoro and Usopp are gonna be safe on this restaurant ship. So out of all the places she could leave them, this would be probably the safest for them, she probably thought. However,
she didn't just leave them, she took all their treasure. Like, if she would have just left.
And none of them cared about treasure, though.
Right, but now they have no money to buy food.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, to get out safe, I can see. But, like, she didn't have to. Like, if she took a share of her stuff, I'd be like, fine, go get it. You know, you're fine. But I don't know. I thought that was pretty upsetting.
So, John, the way you worded that, So, are you under the impression that Nami left out of fear because of Hawkeye showing up?
No, I don't think she knew that Hawkeye was there, but I do think she did put some thought into this being the particular place she leaves the rest of the crew, because I do think she has grown to care about these friends of hers. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's just been playing them this whole time or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the last thing I wrote for this episode is that I honestly did not expect Hawkeye to actually show up. How they talked about him sounded like he wasn't going to show up till like they actually get to the Grand Line, and that he would be like a main bad guy for the series.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, I will tell you right now, Hawkeye is, I mean, he's not someone that you're going to see like frequently. He is a returning character, though. for sure. He's just an absolute badass. I love Hawkeye. Everybody loves Hawkeye. Did you have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, Amanda, what did you think of this episode?
I thought this was a good action-packed episode as well. I liked it. And I had lots of questions that kind of were answered. So it was fun to learn that Krieg was after the logbook. So then I was kind of wondering, you know, what's inside this logbook? I want to know details of what Zeff has put down in there. I'm assuming it's just a diary of sorts and tips for survival 101 on the Grand Line, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I was also wondering why Zoro wanted to interact with Hawkeye so badly, and then we find out he's considered to be the greatest swordsman, so there's an exciting rivalry coming up with that one. What else? I think probably we've covered the rest of what I had here, except, I mean, I guess Nami, that whole situation, she did shove our guys Johnny and Yosuke off the side of the boat, so
to be honest, they kind of deserved that. But they were being pervs.
Thank God neither one of them had devil fruits.
True, but yeah, I was not happy with her choice there. My last notes on this one were, Nami can take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah, so I agree with you about a lot of it. I think one of the things that stood out for me in this episode was like, I thought it was kind of funny because they've basically spent these first three episodes that we've watched building up Krieg as this insane badass pirate that can't be beaten, all this stuff, you know, large crew, very strong person, can take a rocket launcher at point blank, no problem. And then they spend 5 minutes on Hawkeye and it completely overshadows it. Like, at this point, like by the end of this episode, nobody gives a flying fuck about Krieg at all. Like, Hawkeye has just completely taken over this as being the one that everyone's thinking about. Like, I remember when I stopped watching it at this episode, and like, even, and you know, and maybe it is just because I, you know, already from my first watch through have so much background with Hawkeye, but I was like, oh my god, I can't wait for this fight tomorrow, this is gonna be so fun. I was super excited to watch episode 24 just because of like the buildup that they had here to Hawkeye. And it was kind of funny because I think even at this point, when I, on my first watch through again, I was just kind of watching this stuff in the background, and so like a lot of this I wasn't paying attention to on my first watch through. So I didn't realize that they did so much build up to Hawkeye with them talking about, oh, there was one man that took us apart in the Grand Line and all that stuff. Like, I kind of thought he just showed up, honestly, just because I wasn't paying attention. So I was really excited to see all the build up that they were giving him. So yeah, Hawkeye, one of my favorite characters. I was really glad to see him. And then the point that we've all talked about so far, Nami leaving. So I'm curious, we've kind of danced around it a little bit. I'm curious as to each one of your thoughts on exactly why do you think she left? You know, what was her reasoning or purpose for leaving, or her thought process? So I guess, Amanda, do you wanna start?
I just was under the impression that she wanted the treasure and wanted to embark on her own search for more. So she saw that as a chance and she just took it. I don't think she gave much thought to anyone else. And she, like I said, she just pushed those two dudes right off the side and peaced out.
Just peaced out. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, she has kind of shown to be very, self-absorbed so far, I guess you would say, in the show. Like, so far I agree with John, and I think that she's starting to care about them, maybe like in her heart, I guess you would say, as corny as that sounds. Like, I think she's starting to care about them deep down, but still at the point where she's got so much hatred toward pirates, she's like, no, I don't fuck these guys, like, I'm just, you know. and so basically everything she, like all of her actions and everything like that, have shown that she really doesn't care about them, even though I think she's starting to. But yeah, that's Whitney, what about you?
I also at first was like, well, she's just greedy because she talks about her treasure a lot. And then when they actually show her leaving, like, it kind of flashes back a little bit to show, you know, her pretending to change her clothes in the next episode, and the two pervs try to turn around and see her while she's undressed. And then, but right before that, she's looking at a wanted poster that offers, like, I can't remember how much, it's like 20 million berries. And so my first thought is, well, of course she wants this huge bounty. She wants to go find this person. But I also kind of wonder if this person doesn't have history with her. Like, did he personally do something to her or her family? Because we know she's traumatized from pirates. So, and I can't even remember the name of the guy.
Arlong. This was the one she picked up one of last week's episodes. Yeah. A-R-L-O-N-G. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember her picking it up, and then, you know, she's still looking at it. So I feel like there's got to be more of a reason than just the money, but I don't know. It might just be the money at this point. I'm not sure. So maybe that's what, like, maybe this person did something terrible to her, and that's why she's so wishy-washy with wanting to stay with Luffy and them. But it's like, she's going through this process. She cares about them, and then she doesn't get too attached. It's whoever they're fighting. If that person is worse, then yeah, she's going to help Luffy and Zoro and Usopp. But if they're not around, like, she took this chance to wait until all of them had left the boat to sail off, right? So it's not like she just fought them, because she knew she couldn't, right? She couldn't go up against Luffy and Zoro to take over the Going Merry. So she waited until they left to sail off with their stuff. So okay. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm sure she'll be back, but still don't care for her.
Okay. Fair enough. John, I know you kind of already talked about it a little bit. Did you want to expand any more on what you think Nami's reasoning is for departing in such a fashion?
She particularly left him here because of thinking that they'll probably be safe on this sea restaurant. You mentioned how Derek that you don't think she's actually grown to care about these people a lot, which I think I actually very much disagree with that. I think that she does not see them as just as the same as pirates. Because from the very beginning of when she met with them, she's been and repeatedly shown the heart that these guys have, and I think that that has definitely changed her opinion on them, which is why she would care to leave them in a place where they are, where at least in her mind that they would be more safe. I don't think she saw Don Krieg as a threat for Luffy and Zoro. He kind of very easily feels like he would be defeated by them if those two actually fight him. I think there's definitely something to be said about the wanted poster. I think immediately upon when we first saw Zoro's two friends and they showed those wanted posters, and they were like, this is a very lucrative business. That she probably started getting the idea of maybe this is where they should start making money from becoming a bounty hunter.
Okay. Yeah, and just to correct you a little bit, so I do think that she cares about them. I just think she's in denial that she cares about them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My best example is when I started watching Game of Thrones. I was like, no, I don't like this show. Fuck this show. I want nothing to do with this show. And then I went upstairs and I started watching it. like that. I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly what comes of this with Nami for sure. Definitely, a surprise there. Anything else on episode 23 before we jump into episode 24? No? Okay.
The silence is deafening.
I mean, I'm just giving everyone a chance to answer, and I'm for the listeners, I am getting answers. I'm just getting nods and not verbal verbal cues or anything like that.
I just need to think of some kind of motto to be like, you know, move on, but in a nicer and wittier fashion.
Yep. Got it. I see what you did there, because your name is Whitney and you're trying to come up with a wittier fashion.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna have to come up with a verbal witty fashion for eye rolling too. Okay. Well, so
real quick before you do that, I have an idea, and I don't know if anybody will like this idea or not, but there are so many background characters that I love in this show that like it'll just like pan across a bunch of characters and everybody's pretty normal looking, and then it'll hit one where I'm like, this guy has a giant face and George Washington curls, and I'm like, whoa, where did this guy come from, right? And then there's a pirate in this episode that's wearing a beanie that just says baby across it.
Okay.
I almost kind of want to like start snapping pictures of the ones that I find the most interesting every week and be like, this guy's aesthetic is my favorite from this set of episodes. And I took one this week. There were more, but I took one just to show you an example. And I don't think he's until like the last episode, and he's one of the Krieg pirates, and I'll describe him for people listening. it looks like a pencil drawn on mustache goatee combo. He's got long blonde hair with two little pigtails near his forehead and what looks like a bald spot that's been shaved in front that's also green. Anyway, I just found him super interesting, and I just love all the little background characters that are never addressed but they just look like the weirdest people you've ever seen, you know?
You know what we should do? Because I like this, Whitney. Surprisingly. Okay. What we should do is we should start like trying to capture these people, and then we can post the pictures on our socials and we can come up with names for them.
Yes.
Yes.
Like this guy's pirate name. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got the first one. We'll let you come up with the name for the first one.
Okay. Naming background characters. That's our new
naming random ass background characters. I love it.
That reminds me of how and oh, some people might get annoyed at me for bringing this up even when it's not on my podcast, but in Howard the Duck, there is a background character who it's absolutely hilarious to look at because he's this biker guy who has baby doll faces sewn onto his jacket.
Okay.
Actual faces.
Actual baby doll faces.
Like not just in the material, but like sewn on.
Like plastic heads that he I guess broke off of dolls and put onto his jacket.
Interesting. No, interesting.
Yeah.
So I told John on a former episode of his on his podcast that he needed to make it a goal in life to mention Howard the Duck on every podcast episode he ever did.
And I have done it since then.
Yeah. Have you? I love it. So I'm curious. So this is kind of going off on a small tangent here, and also asking a question at the same time. Have any of you ever heard of ducking?
Like I'm referring mad right now.
Whitney, not fucking ducking.
No, Derek.
Wait. Is this where people? I may not even be close, but is this where people like leave tiny rubber ducks hidden all over the place for people to find, and then they never know if they've found them all?
So it's really close.
I've heard of it. People do that with Jeeps.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh. Yeah, I have a friend that has a hot pink Jeep, and she collects duckies from people. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So I was at one of my friends got married last weekend, and I was a groomsman. And I know most of you know this. I'm just kind of filling in the blanks for the podcast. But anyway, one of the other groomsmen, I met his girlfriend this past weekend for the first time. She was there, and she drives a Jeep, and she was explaining to me the process of ducking. And it was kind of funny to me because I dated a girl for several years that had a Jeep that Whitney, don't give me that face, okay? she had a Jeep, and it was a late 90s, I think, and it was an off-road Jeep, you know? It was the kind of Jeep, and while it wasn't a Wrangler, it was a Cherokee, it was a specialized off-road Jeep, and that's what Jeep people like. And so it was crazy to me whenever Jake's girlfriend was explaining to me the process of ducking, that I had never heard of this before, being, you know, dating someone that's in the Jeep community and very heavily involved in the Jeep community so much. I had never heard of this process of ducking before, so that was really interesting to me. I wasn't sure if anybody else was aware of it.
I think it's only a Wrangler thing, because I have a Jeep that I hate that's a Compass. don't buy them, they're terrible. But my ex had a Wrangler, and that was like one time somebody left a duck on his, but I've never had anything like that happen to me. Maybe because the Compass is a shit car, but sorry if you have, maybe I just have a bad one. I don't know. I have an older one that was like bottom of the line, so I don't like it, but anyway.
And see, so I was asking Jake's girlfriend this, and that was what she was saying. She was like, you know, some people would not consider Cherokee a Jeep. I'm like, okay, you know, that's fair enough. So, and maybe it is just a specific Jeep Wrangler thing and not necessarily off-road sheet thing. So anyway, it just popped into my head, and I thought I would ask you. I don't remember what connection I had, but damn it, I had a connection. Okay, so and I'm gonna be like,
is it Zeph's ship that has a duck on the figurehead and it has like a little chef hat on it?
Yep, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. We're just gonna go with that. Okay.
Speaking of Zeph's hat, I'm pretty sure it changes so in tall. Size, eyes, depending on where God. They are at, so they can actually fit into the area.
They just keep changing the height on it. Like, it's a hat that's got a crank on it to, right, to make it taller or shorter.
The last time that I saw him, I was like, he could fit, like, 17 Ratatouilles under there. Whatever that mouse's name is.
That is a Remy. Yeah, that is a great reference. I love that movie.
That is a good movie. I really like that music in that movie.
That's one of it, because it's a Disney movie, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Pixar. Yeah.
It's also a really good ride. It's at, I think it's, is it Epcot? It's at one of the parks.
New one, I think.
It's really fun. Yeah, it's really fun. It's on like in those like cars that are on like the black plastic type material, and it just like goes like a bumper car almost.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through, it's like you're a mouse and you're in the kitchen, and they've got like water that'll spray at you, and they'll blast heat at you because you get too close to the oven, and it's really cool. It's like a 4D experience.
Okay.
Do you get cheese thrown at you? I would love that.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
not that you get to eat, but yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I don't know if I'd want to eat cheese that was thrown at me on a ride at an amusement park, though.
That's fair as well.
I'll eat any cheese.
Lady Elena, it's time for the cheese now.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Multiple Games of Thrones references. Games of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Throne Eye.
Ew. Promises.
Or we can make it plural like oxen, so it's thrown in.
Thrown in. I like thronuses better.
Thronuses, yeah. Like rhinoceri or rhinoceroses. Okay. So, episode 24, finally. Johnny and Yosuke jump straight into what happened with Nami. Zoro and Usopp are good with letting her go, but Luffy demands that Nami is the only person he will accept as the Straw Hat Navigator. Mihawk makes his way onto the scene before Zoro and Usopp can go after Nami. Luffy understands right away that Zoro isn't going anywhere until he challenges Mihawk. Zoro unsheathes his three swords while Mihawk pulls out what is essentially a butter knife. Zoro charges in with his best move right away, but Mihawk stops it easily. Johnny and Yosuke try to charge in and help, but Luffy stops them, understanding that this is Zoro's fight, and Zoro's alone, no matter the outcome. While Mihawk has done nothing but toy with Zoro, Zoro has shown enough heart in the fight to earn Mihawk's respect. With one final charge at each other, Mihawk lands a massive slice through Zoro while also breaking two out of his three swords. One last slice, and Mihawk has defeated Roronoa Zoro. As Zoro's friends pull him out of the water, Mihawk makes the declaration that this will not be the last time that they fight, and Zoro should continue to train and improve until that day. Usopp, Johnny, and Yosuke, and the injured Zoro chase after Nami. Luffy sticks back to fight with Krieg and work on getting Sanji to join the crew. So this episode was absolutely insane. That's just my thought. I loved this fight with Zoro and Mihawk, because like all we've seen so far in these first 23 episodes is that Zoro's an absolute badass, and I'm still not refuting that at all. Zoro's freaking awesome, okay? But Mihawk makes it look like he was playing with a child. I mean, and honestly, as essentially he was, and I'll just tell you right now from experience, like, this fight for Mihawk was essentially, the amount of effort that he put into this fight was essentially like flexing his pinky. Like, this guy is, he's just an absolutely insane powerhouse, and while they do a good job showing that here, it's still nothing. So, John, what were your thoughts on this fight?
Well, before I get into my thoughts on the fight, you say from experience with Arians, you know, this was like he just put just one fake out for the fight. Have you experienced a fight like this in your life?
All I'm saying is I've seen what Mihawk can actually do, and this was not
okay. I really liked this fight a lot. I especially thought it was really cool when they use a black and white to really amplify like the serious tone of the fight. That was really cool. And honestly, it also just was a really epic fight. I haven't noticed this within the previous episodes. Does Zoro always put his one sword that's a special sword to be the one in its mouth off? Because I was wondering, it felt very surprising that ended up being the one sword that did not actually get it broken.
You are correct. So yes. Waiting to make it. So yes, that sword is always the one that he puts in his mouth. And there is a reason that is the only sword that did not get broken. And I'm not going to answer that question. They answer it later.
That's Kuina's sword, right?
Correct. That's the one that Kuina gave him. That's the only one that did not break.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only other thing about this fight that I think I had was that there's a little bit more of it that I think it was like stuff for after the fight, but for this fight, I found it to be very surprising that this early in the show they would have us they would give us a freak out making us think that Zoro's dead. I would have thought that would have come a long time further down the line, and not just this early in the show. I like when Hawkeye tells the this was not Hawkeye saying this. This was Sanji saying. Telling Zoro to give up ambition and live as he's falling into the water is a little dumb because it's seemingly too late as he's to tell him that as he's falling in the water.
I mean, I would agree with you. So one of my favorite comedians, Tim Hawkins, one of his bits is good advice, too late. His example is a child running and accidentally runs into a table. And your mom's like, careful! It's good advice, but it's too late. And so that's what I feel like you're talking about here, John. So might not be terrible advice. Yeah. Actually, I disagree with it. But anyway, like you said, little too late on that one.
The last thing about the actual fight is that I like that Hawkeye wants Zoro to live so that they can have a fair and honorable fight in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought that was a really cool thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really like that Hawkeye did that, because Zoro really did not do anything in this fight to show that he was even close to Mihawk's level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because essentially what he was doing is just swinging at something that wasn't there. Like he could make contact on anything, but he still earned Mihawk's respect just with the heart. And even the, this is going to sound odd, but the talent in Zoro's misses. So I think he did. I mean, well, he obviously did earn Mihawk's respect throughout the fight.
Yeah. And, you know, surprisingly, unlike any other villain in the show, I don't think Hawkeye really feels like a villain, and he's not obviously not a hero, but he's like he doesn't feel like he's actually like evil, like a lot of the bad guys in the show are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you mean there, for sure. And actually, one of my favorite quotes is because there was right before the fight started between Zorro and Mihawk, one of the Krieg pirates, asks Mihawk why he followed them, and Mihawk just responded was like, "Cause I'm bored." Like, this man just completely diced up 50 ships because he was bored and he just wanted to kill some time. Okay, all right, guy, whatever, we're there. And then something else I did want to touch on real quick, that I think it's that same guy that was talking to Mihawk that tries to shoot him. And Mihawk just like slightly twists his sword to deflect the bullets, and they show it in slow motion. That was really awesome. I love that. I was like, oh shit. Anyway, anything else, John?
No, nothing else about the fight.
Okay. Whitney, what did you think about this fight?
I think you all know what I felt about this fight.
You were crying, weren't you?
I was devastated. Absolutely devastated. I understand that Hawkeye is like this force to be reckoned with and his skills are really good, but I don't have an affinity to him like others, it seems like they do. The only thing I appreciated about Hawkeye was that he, you know, tried to take care of business with Krieg so they wouldn't be a threat anymore. Which Krieg is a super idiot for going back to try to fight Hawkeye after all of this was done.
Come on, Krieg, get the hell out of here.
Like, Krieg is just way too overconfident.
Yeah, I think John had a point when you said that I don't think Hawkeye is evil. I mean, I feel like as a person, Krieg is so much worse than Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. At least that's what it seems like right now. Mm-hmm. I do, the thing I do like about Hawkeye is his whole style. He's very goth, very vampire.
I love his design. His design's awesome.
His facial hair, his cross necklace, his the red and the black.
His boat's in the shape of a coffin.
One of my favorite styles in any kind of fiction is like is people when they have that sort of goth red and black vampire look. And I found it interesting when I was looking up information for these episodes on the wiki. I don't know if this is a spoiler or Derek. Eric, is this what I'm about to say? Do you have any idea what I might be about to say?
I have.
It has so to do with his name.
With his his full name. No, that's not a spoiler.
Okay, so his full name, his actual name is not Hawkeye. It's Dracul.
Yeah, Dracul. Oh. Yeah, Dracul. Dracul, Hawkeye is his nickname, and then Mihawk. Yeah, so Dracul, Mihawk is how you'll.
So it just. I'm thinking that that's the actual reason why his style is very vampiric goth off look is because of having that first name of Dracul.
Mm-hmm. That's such a cool name. He should use that. I don't know why he wouldn't use that.
He never uses it. I know, like a lot. Most people don't use his actual name. Like most people will call him Hawkeye or Mihawk. The only people that seem to use Dracul as his name is like very high authority figures, I guess, because they're more formal than anyone else. But yeah, that would be his first name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. It was just really startling to see that Zorro could make zero headway with this guy, because, you know, we're so used to him coming in and saving the day with his skills, and it just wasn't there this time. And you kind of flash back to his childhood where he was getting so frustrated that he couldn't beat Kuina, and you could see him actually getting angry for the first time as an adult and kind of scared and panicky. But Hawkeye recognized his talent, and he was like, you won't die today, and I look forward to fighting you again. And I'm just like, get out of here, you know. Get out of here, Hawkeye.
No Hawkeye for Whitney.
Malboro is closed, but that's about it.
Amanda, what'd you think of Hawkeye Mihawk and the Zorro fight?
I was real scared for a minute there that Zorro wasn't gonna make it. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, but that sword is huge, and I don't know how he survived.
It was huge. I mean, it was jokes.
It was intentional. I'm sure that Hawkeye didn't cut him that deep. I mean, it looked pretty damn deep, but he didn't fatally wound him, which was an interesting choice. But I mean, that we kind of see him explain it a little bit towards the end about how he finds that Zorro's a worthy opponent. So that'll be good to kind of see him come back and see how that plays out. Hawkeye kind of reminded me aesthetically of Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
That character.
Yeah.
Just because of the outfit. I feel like his shirt was open.
Like, even the similar facial hair, too. Actually, I think Captain Hook had more of a full beard than Hawkeye did. I guess
it depends on which you watch. Like, do you watch Once Upon a Time, or do you watch Peter Pan or Hook? I mean, it's all different.
Yeah. It was entertaining. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes after this.
Yeah, for sure. Since I'm already here with you, Amanda, did you have any other thoughts on this episode as a whole? I mean, the fight kind of took over most of it. But anything else you wanted to talk about on this episode?
I mean, do we ever see why? Well, I guess on the topic of swords, why is that sword so like huge? It seems like it's like this jewel encrusted kind of Indiana Jones artifact.
It seemed very important, right?
Yeah.
I called it like the black sword, something black sword.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I think he seems kind of really empowered, and it's like, is it the sword or is it just him? It's interesting. Right.
What I was kind of wondering. And then like on that same line, now what is Zorro gonna do that two of his swords have been crushed?
Fair.
Yeah, I guess he's just gonna have
maybe they're just generic and he can get some more. I don't know.
Yeah
maybe something like that. You know, I'm sure the sword store's around.
Mug look on your face when you know the story. I hate it. Every time we make theories, Derek's just looking
at us.
I don't
think you guys are idiots, okay? I love your theories and such, okay? Like, I love all these questions and stuff. I really do.
I wish you guys could see him. He just narrows his eyes and he goes, interesting.
No, I don't narrow my eyes. I guarantee I get a smug look on my face, though. Like,
it's your natural state.
Exactly. That's just my face. Like, I don't know that I'm surprised you expect anything else, honestly. Whitney, you adjusted your glasses wrong. It's
I got new glasses, so I'm pulling a clawhador to adjust my glasses.
Okay. And then Amanda, did you have anything else on the
No, that was it.
Nope. Okay. And Whitney, anything else on this episode?
No, I want to move past it. I'm scarred.
Okay.
Nobody ever better do that to me again.
I'm not gonna say anything. John.
I love after the fight, while Zorro is laying on the boat out, and he's like, he tells he makes this promise to Luffy that he, while calling him King of the Pirates, which was really cool, he makes this promise: I will never be beaten again until I fight Hawkeye again. And is that okay, King of the Pirates? That was honestly a probably one of my favorite lines throughout all of these episodes. That was such a great line of mine, I think, from him. The other notes I took on this episode are more funny ones. When Luffy is Luffy gets his head stuck in the wall, all I wrote, so which do you enjoy more, Luffy twerking while his head is stuck in a wall, or She-Hulk twerking with Megan Thee Stallion?
I mean, She-Hulk, 100%.
That's fair. I think Hawkeye was getting a good look there.
the other two ones I had were it would be funny if Hawkeye tried cutting Luffy's tongue off for sticking it out at him.
And that would have been funny.
Was just like at Hawkeye. Like I think that would have been funny if Hawkeye was like, "How dare you!" It would just try to cut it off. And then last thing goes along with what Whitney was saying earlier about the background characters. I noticed this one of Don Krieg's pirates is wearing a shirt that says Billy Wood, and there's a leaf on top. With
yes, I saw that too.
Kind of felt like it could be some kind of weed reference, but I don't know. I don't know because I tried looking it up and I can't find anything having to do with Billy Wood.
Y'all got any Billy Wood for sale? That's what they call it, right?
Something like that, I'm sure.
That's all I have.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I really like that last line by Zoro, you know, proclaiming to Luffy that he would never lose again, and like you said, and openly calling him King of the Pirates, and you know, and making sure, you know, and Mihawk was right there and heard it too, and I like that Mihawk even turned to Luffy, and said that, you know, hey, your expectations are even loftier than his. I mean, and because that's, I would say that's probably true, and we already saw how difficult Zoro's climb uphill to beat Mihawk is going to be, for sure. And I think one other thing, because like I said, there wasn't a whole lot that happened in this episode outside of the fight, but I did like toward the beginning of the fight when Johnny and Yosuke tried to jump in, and Luffy stopped them, understanding, because it's kind of like we saw a little bit of it with Buggy in Orange Town, where when Zoro was fighting Kabuji, Luffy just sat back and let him do his thing. Even when Zoro was looking like he was in trouble, Luffy did not step in. Like, this is Zoro's fight. He's got this. I'm not, you know, because he was not going to step in. He was not going to do that to Zoro and, like, show, I don't know if you would say, lack of confidence is what, and Zoro is what's popping into my head there. And Buggy, in that instance, we talked about it, that in that set of episodes absolutely showed a lack of confidence in Kabuji that he would not be able to stop Zoro. But I really like that Luffy just sat back, and even though he was absolutely torn up that Zoro lost, he was still not gonna, you know, step in. And thinking of it from Zoro's perspective as well, if Luffy had let Johnny and Yosuke step in, one, it's very likely, I guarantee you, I'm going to put it that way, that it would not have changed the outcome. They would have just been killed too. But even if it did change the outcome, let's say they did beat Mihawk, you think Zoro would have been happy with that victory, knowing he would have had to get help? You know, so anyway, I actually think
that the reason that that Luffy pulled them back was because he realized these two are gonna get killed if they go in, and he wanted to protect them.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of both. But yeah, so I really like that Luffy did that, and he's done that a few times, and I know that's definitely part of his character. But anything else on this episode from anyone before we move on to episode 25?
No.
Okay. Cool. As the Krieg pirates charge the Baratier, Pearl of the Krieg pirates reveals himself and leads the charge. Sanji reveals that, like Zeff, he uses only his feet. His hands are for cooking. As Pearl falls to Sanji and some foolishness by Luffy, Gein steps out of the Baratier and has a gun to Chef Zeff's head. So honestly, like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of this episode. Like, there was a few things that happened, but I felt like outside of that, not much else happened. Like, it was a few flashes of a no-name person fighting a no-name person. or whatever, you know. I mean, Patty jumped in a big fish and got beat by Krieg pretty easily, but other than that, like, just not a lot happened. And Pearl kind of felt like a joke to me, and Luffy, like I said, accidentally hit him twice, and Sanji kicked him in the face once or twice, and that was pretty much the end of Pearl. So it was kind of a letdown of a, you know, kind of like a letdown of a fight, if you ask me. And maybe that's just because we watched this other fight that was absolutely ridiculous. But Whitney, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I like the side characters that show up. Like, I love the Meowbin brothers, and this guy was so silly. And I loved the color of his pearls and stuff. That really attracted me to his outfit. But he was silly, right? He's just covered in a bunch of shields.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until he was knocked down that his body really is that big. Like, the shield actually just covered his body. Mm-hmm. So the proportions were kind of crazy. But you got the kind of idea that his heart wasn't truly in it. He just seemed like fighting was not his preferred activity. Like, he talks about being a gentleman, and what was it? He says, "I may be a gentleman, but I'm not gentle." Get it? And Luffy's like, "That's supposed to be a joke, because it's not even a little bit funny." So I thought that little commentary was funny. Patty, I wasn't a huge fan of in the first few episodes. I just thought he was just so rude and unforgiving for no reason. But it cracked me up because he says, "You know what? I've been a cook all my life. I worked in a lot of restaurants and gotten fired from them all for scuffling and living hard." And I just thought that was the funniest little quote he said. It's like, I kind of want to know his backstory a little bit. But again, with the silliness of this ship restaurant, right? They have a paddle boat cannon that looks like a fish. You know, I don't know. What do you say about that? It didn't work very well. Again, this, I don't know how this guy is impervious to cannon. Like, as a human being, I don't understand how he doesn't have powers. Like, if you don't eat a devil fruit, I just assume you're a normal human. But it seems like so many of these humans, like Amanda had said earlier, are so powerful. Like, Zeff and Sanji and Krieg, like, maybe it's just skills and work that they've gone through their whole lives. I don't know. But he also names his attacks, again, keeping up with that tradition. I think he calls it, is it Fire Pearl Special Treat before, you know, he attacks. So just so corny, but I love that. But yeah, they took him out pretty quick. And then, of course, the biggest cliffhanger ever, Gein comes up and puts a gun.
That was a good cliffhanger.
But, you know, I have a feeling, because I feel like Gein is going to be that kind of guy who was like, "Look, you guys took care of me. I didn't mean for any of this to happen." So I'm kind of hoping that he'll turn concrete. That's my prediction, at least.
Okay. And this is not a smug look. I honestly don't remember what happens.
Whitney, throughout all these episodes, you keep mentioning about how they always say their attack before they do it. Every time that reminds me of Inspector Gadget, where he's always before every attack that he does against someone, he's like, "Go, go, Gadget!"
Yep. Just kind of like the devil fruit, gum gum, gum gum rocket, or that's funny.
Yep.
God, I used to love that show when I was little. Part of my brain just lit up.
So I'm curious, and we'll go to Amanda next, but I just want to ask you guys this quick question, because it just popped into my head. And actually, I think in this episode that Krieg implied that he did. Do you guys think Hawkeye has a devil fruit?
I don't know if he has a devil fruit or some kind of magic, because, like, I thought it was weird that he had these green candles. I think it was candles, like, on his ship. And then he had that sword. So I wonder if the sword doesn't give him some kind of, but it could be a devil fruit. I don't, but he didn't say his attacks, right? Like everybody else has.
I mean, Zoro says his attacks too, but he doesn't have a devil fruit.
True.
You mentioned the green candles. I was wondering between both this episode and last episode, do colors of flames mean anything in this show? Because you had the green flames last episode with Hawkeye, and then Patty, when he has the flames come out, they're white. I'm wondering if there's something to the colors of flames of it, and do they mean anything?
I'm not for sure on that one. That might be something interesting to look up. I know that hair color, I know that anime has like a classic hair color thing when it comes to girls. Like pink hair often refers to, to this, and red hair often refers to this. And I think blue hair often refers to royalty or something like that. So that was something I was going to get into later whenever we see more of it. But I know that there's a hair color that, you know, means something in anime, but I'm not sure about candle color.
That's interesting.
Okay. So Amanda, what were your thoughts on this episode?
It was pretty silly. That Pearl dude was just something else. He was not up to the standard of the Miyabon brothers, but very ridiculous. And then I didn't understand why he like caught fire when he was angry. The randomest thing. But then I went and I was like, So I went and Googled, and it just said that pearls don't burn if they're in fire. That was the only thing, really.
Interesting. But, I mean,
yeah, it was just a strange thing.
I guess now that you mention it, he didn't even act like he was hot in the fire. So interesting. I like that.
I mean, but then why pick that though? Like, he could have just been like, oh, when I'm angry, I explode and pearls go everywhere or something. Yeah. Like, why catch fire? Yeah. Like, how does that happen? He just spontaneously combusts.
I don't even know where the fire came from.
I feel like they could have gone even further with this idea of pearls, by having that when Zeph blows out the fire on the fireballs, actually have them be pearls. They didn't look like they were pearls, which was surprising.
Yeah, it almost looked like they were, you know, lead balls or something like that. Like he would shoot. Maybe they were just like scorched pearls, you know, maybe they just had some powder or something like that on them from the fire. Whitney, why are you giving that face? Like, I swear you've got something going on in your head.
This is just my face. What?
Okay. That's really rude, Derek. Amanda, did you have anything else on this episode?
The only other thing was, I believe it was in this episode, we learned that the Grand Line has a lot more people that have taken devil fruit on. So
I think that was when Krieg mentioned that he thought Hawkeye had it.
Okay, yeah. So I'm interested to see what else those powers end up being.
Okay.
Maybe toothbrush fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that.
I hope so.
John, what was your thoughts on episode 25?
Firstly, I would say this is probably, in my opinion, the weakest of all of the episodes we watched. I was very annoyed throughout the episode that Luffy was just sitting back and watching and not joining into the fight until the very end. It just felt like he was very much being lazy at that point. Since unlike with the previous episode, there wasn't actually like a particular reason for him to not join in the fight. He just decided to stay back, I guess it seems. I did really enjoy Zeph's conversation with Luffy at the start about the defeating these pirates, and he'll be off of his debt, and then also also trying to talk to Zeph about his experiences as a pirate, which did make me wonder throughout the episode if Zeph has eaten a devil fruit, and that's why he might have been able to make it through the Grand Line, And then also, like, I have a theory. It's kind of an out there one, but Zeph's voice sounds very much the same or similar to the voice at the beginning of each episode with of the guy who stored or the One Piece or stowed it away.
Oh, Gold Roger.
They actually be the same person? Which is which I think that's kind of an out there theory, but I do think it is an interesting theory. I was wondering throughout the episode, why does Zeph want Sanji to watch how Luffy fights? It's not like a normal person could ever learn to fight in the same style as a rubber man fights. Does anyone have any ideas why he would have told him to do that?
The way, and honestly, I think this is why Luffy was sitting back and watching too. Because I think the reason that Zeph wanted Sanji to sit back and watch Luffy fight is so he could see for a couple of reasons. One, so he could see the heart that Luffy fights with, the amount of effort that he puts into it. And two, I think the adjustment to what's going on in the fight, because Luffy does not know anything about Don Krieg. And honestly, I don't even know enough about Don Krieg to even have something in my head when I'm saying this. But I think he's thinking the fact that he wants Sanji to watch Luffy adjust on the fly to whatever Don Krieg pulls out of his ass, and especially someone that's known to be a dirty fighter like Don Krieg. We don't know what he's going to do, and Luffy doesn't know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think he wants Sanji to watch Luffy learn how to adapt to the situation and also watch the intelligence that Luffy fights with. Because while he is an idiot, he's not a stupid fighter. So that's kind of the way I took it, that he just wants, because you can tell a lot about a person, I think, in the show by how they fight. And so I think that's what he's referring to. Like, I think that if Sanji is watching Luffy closely, he'll be able to figure out if Luffy's going to be a good captain or not, someone worth following. And I think that's kind of why Luffy was sitting back and watching Sanji as well. So he could watch Sanji fight and see how he adapts to the situation and how he fights, you know, what his thought process is in his fights and something like that. See if his, you know, we know that his cooking skills are going to be useful on the crew, but are his fighting skills going to be useful on the crew? So I think that's why Luffy was just sitting back and watching. But that's the way I took it. So I know I've been talking for 10 minutes now. Wendy, so, Amanda, did you have any thoughts on that, or did I take them all?
I don't really know. Like, I remember him saying that, but I guess I just didn't think much about it. I guess I just assumed it was more of a watch this guy. This is interesting. But I mean, there could be a deeper thing to it. That's possible.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either.
Yeah, it's interesting that Luffy starts fighting these pirates because he basically just doesn't want to do chores anymore. He's like, I'll get rid of these guys if you let me leave. You know? Like, that's all he cares about is I don't want to be here anymore.
So. I think that even if that wasn't on the table, Luffy would have still been super excited to fight these guys.
Yeah, most likely.
Some of my other thoughts, I really enjoyed the triple barrel fish-shaped cannon. I was really glad that Paddy did not die from getting thrown around by Don Krieg and Sanji. The flashback for when Paddy and the other chef started at Zeph's restaurant really surprised me, because I didn't think that those two were good friends. It everything before that, and kind of seemed to me like they were kind of a little bit of rivals in the kitchen with each other, and not like they were just good friends who have been there for many years together. So that was very interesting to me. for Pearl, when he emerged from the water, before I saw his face, all I could think of was Mysterio. Oh, because we saw that the giant pearl on his head. Yeah.
Almost like a scuba diver or something.
I was just thinking about a turtle.
When there was one moment where it kind of looked like Sanji like phased himself out of existence for a second, which I guess that was just great speed, but like at that moment I quite loudly he said what the fuck because that happened and then he appears again in front of some pirates to just kick them out from under them. Near the end of the episode, finally Luffy he gets into the action by throwing that flail back. I was so happy that he finally got into the action, because that was part of why I think this episode is weakest, because he just felt like he wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did not like the cliffhanger for the episode, because I felt like I was like, seriously, this guy is who took out Zeff? He's like, which he felt to me like a very much of a flip-flop character, and also kind of at this point we were thinking he was kind of a good guy, why would he go out and be the one to take out Zeff? I was like, I literally wrote, out of everyone here, that twerp is who took out Zeff. Really? I call bull on that. Like, that just like, really? I hope that Zeff is not dead, because I really liked Zeff.
Yeah, for sure. And
let's not have a feeling that Gain is gonna turn. Like, he's gonna pretend like he's doing the heel thing.
And see, I don't remember much about Gain. So like I don't even know, because like at this point, all we've seen, like John has mentioned, you know, kind of a beggar looking for food. And then he kind of filled in the blanks on what happened on the Grand Line with Hawkeye. Like, we don't really know much about Gein, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't even remember much from my first watch through. So the amount that we know about him is very, very minimal. Mm-hmm. So it is going to be interesting to see if maybe he is a really good fighter, you know, like, and that was the thing I was kind of surprised about, like you said, John, was because Zeff, we've already kind of established, is no joke. Mm-hmm. Like, Zeff is a very good fighter. And so I am surprised. And honestly, even no matter how good Gein is, I am surprised that he got even a little bit of a jump on Zeff, honestly. Like, Zeff must have really let his guard down, at least to what was behind him. And I forgot that Gein was even there, honestly. Like, I've been so focusing so much on Hawkeye and Krieg, I forgot Gein was even in the restaurant.
Like, at that point, I was probably at the same level of caring about Gein as I cared about Zoro's two friends. Like, I was like, these guys are just twerps. I don't care about them.
Mm-hmm.
I love the word twerp as an insult. Twerp.
That's all I have.
Okay. Well, any other thoughts on any of these episodes? Anything? No? Okay. I did want to bring up a couple things real quick, and then we can jump into quotes. Actually, one person in particular, shout out to Bub. He texted me a little bit this week about One Piece. He's in the process of catching up to us. So two things. One, he answered my question that I think I asked on our first reviewing episode was, has Mr. Fantastic ever been shot at and the bullets bounce off of him like they do Luffy? And yes, Mr. Fantastic has been shot and the bullets do bounce off of him just like that. He actually sent me a comic picture of a comic strip showing it happen. So that's good to know for sure.
Good job, Bub.
Thank you. And then the other thing was Bub asked me a question, and it was a good question. So I wanted to bring it up on here and answer it on the podcast too. Can someone eat more than one devil fruit?
Oh.
Because Bub told me, he's like, you know, he said, I feel like maybe they would cancel each other out.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Or he's like, but if not, I'm making a devil fruit smoothie.
I wonder if it's like deadly or something if you eat more than one. Like maybe there's some kind of reaction.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I brought the question up to not answer it. So I didn't answer it.
Helpful.
I know. Aren't I? I told Bubba, sorry, I was like, Bub. I can. I told when I texted him back, I told him, I was like, look, all your questions are answered, just not yet. But yeah, devil fruits are one of the things that we continue to get more answers on as they go along, for sure. But yeah, those questions have been answered at some point. But anyway, I just wanted to bring it up.
I was talking to Keith the other day, after we finished his recording, I think it was about coming on here, and he was like, he asked me, so since I have my episode is like close to like 50 some odd that you guys wanted him to come on for, or do I need to watch 50 some episodes before that to understand what's going on? I'm like, yes, do not just try and go in and watch just your 5 episodes. That sounds like a terrible idea. You're not going to understand anything that's going on. This is not a show you can just jump into at any point.
Yeah, yeah. So Keith is joining us for episodes 36 to 40. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that'll be a few weeks away, but I'm excited to have him on.
Yeah.
So, and that was,
we'll still be at the restaurant by then. The story just
Yeah, that's exactly where we're gonna be. So any other quotes in any of these episodes?
I think no. I said all mine already.
Did? Okay.
Yeah, I think didn't I said all mine.
Okay. I just had one more, and it was actually from Gene. He was, I think it was in episode 23. It was kind of during the build up to Hawkeye. He said, his eyes, they were gazing like hawks, sharp and murderous. His gaze alone felt like the cold hands of death. I really liked that description of Hawkeye, and especially like his eyes. Cause honestly, once you do see him and you get a chance and you like look in his eyes, they're very menacing and dark, you know? So I really liked that quote by Gene, and it kind of does describe the character that is Hawkeye Mihawk. So anyway, that quote stood out to me, and I was like, oh
that shit. Quote very much reminds me of the pennant stare from Ghost Rider.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a good good comparison there for sure. Okay, so do we want to jump into the MVPs then?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I'm just going to throw mine out there right away. Hawkeye Mihawk. Like, I'm just saying, this dude took over all 5 episodes, okay? Like,
all 5 episodes, he's only in.
I know.
He's no, one did. And a half.
He totally
them.
Did. Like,
wow. He did not.
He totally did. This man left an effect, okay?
No. No. No.
Okay, fine. Fucking Whitney, what do you got?
Sanji.
Respectfully, fuck off. No, I'm sorry.
Sanji has a good soul. He also fights really well. He was present in every episode.
Works with Nami a lot.
Whatever, she's gone. Hopefully, that's over. Oh, he likes redheads. I can appreciate that. Yeah. And he looks cool as shit. Look at him. He's got a cigarette hanging out his mouth. He's a good cook.
He's got a bowl cut.
What? That's not a bowl cut. More of a tag.
Okay. Amanda, MVP's nominations.
I think I would have to give it to Sanji as well. That's who I was thinking about for most of this. So
virtual right. Five.
John, who is your MVP's nomination?
Well, I don't think it honestly matters. Sanji, but
I mean, we can always go to a poll again.
I was thinking that that like probably the most likely ones people would choose are going to be Sanji, Hawkeye, and Zoro. I wanted to go a little out of the box. And even though I love Patty, he's obviously not gonna be my choice always for this. My choice for this is Zeff. I think Zeff was a massively a important character through these episodes, and I think he just really stole the show for me whenever he's on screen. So I think he's a pretty good choice for it. But obviously. I don't think it matters much since we got two votes for Sanji.
I think Zeff was good. You make a good point. I mean, he only really fought the once when he knocked out the, were they cannonballs or were they pearls? Whatever yeah. We decided they were doing. Oh. And you know, but he kept a calm head. He never got upset. He always had a plan. So I mean,
yeah,
more of like a grandfatherly type, like a mentor. He was a mentor.
I respect the Zeff pick for sure. Yeah. I love Zeff. Zeff's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm switching my pick to Zeff. We're tying this shit. We're tying this shit. We're going to the polls. God, yes.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to the polls. We're gonna let the listeners decide between Sanji and Zeff. And
may I suggest? Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I was going to say and or other.
Okay. We do an MVP every week. What if we also do a piece of shit? And this week it can go to Nani.
Yes, biggest piece of shit.
Okay, I'm down with a piece of shit award. Sure. So is that the nomination this week? Nami? The Nami Nation?
Sorry. Fine. That's my Nami Nation. That made me feel dirty saying that, but
to be honest, I would have gone with Full Body, the Marine man who was an asshole in the first episode, but
that's fair as well.
But I can definitely understand the Nami pick.
It did suck, yeah.
John, how did that feel calling your favorite character a nomination for the piece of shit award?
I mean, and I'm not surprised. Eyes from Whitney at this point. I know she hates the character. Even though I remember on like the first episode of you guys' podcast, like she, like I'm pretty sure Aaron Whitney was saying like Nami is like the most like me out of all these characters. Something like that.
You know, I can agree with that.
I am really greedy. I do like money.
And also, you have the red hair.
Mine's fake. It's okay.
Fair enough. Okay, we're gonna start. We're gonna start keeping track of the piece of shit as well. I love it. Two awards. I love it. Okay. All right. Anything else on any of these episodes before we wrap up?
No. For me, I just need to make sure sweet baby Zoro is gonna be okay for the next week.
Just we got to make sure of that. And again, John from the Gamma Analysis podcast, thank you very much for joining us today. It was great having you on here. Sounds like you're really liking the show, so that's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it. Do you want to talk about your podcast a little bit and, you know, get your plugs in there?
All right. Well, my podcast, the Gamma Analysis, is I review basically just about any movie. I have a preference for things that are nerdy and also and particularly I have a very big theme of the Hulk on my podcast asked, and I also do a bunch of cool extra things on my Patreon. I do reactions to films that are either bad or B movies, which B movies are not necessarily bad. I do some smasher passes. I do a trivia thing where my co-host asks me trivia questions and I also do comic readings of whether they're Hulk or they're She-Hulk comics. And it's so much fun doing those comic readings as you get to hear me and Keith and when we're doing the She-Hulk ones on Betsy aka Genetonics just doing a whole bunch of different voices throughout the comics. I've been having a lot of fun with our with a Hulk and Batman crossover comic that we've been doing lately. Okay. And I've been getting to do the voice of Joker for it. It's so much fun getting to do that voice. I think that anyone who joins us Patreon, they're gonna have a lot of fun. I know Derek has been on there for a while, and I think he's had some fun with some of the stuff I put out.
There's some good shit on there.
I recently recorded or this past week some reviews for a review for a very wacky and interesting film named Dave Made a Maze. I highly recommend anyone checking out that film. It's it will literally blow your mind watching it. Probably, it's one of the most crazy and unique films I've ever seen. I also recorded an episode where I did my MCU rankings, and I got Keith's reaction to where I put things. Since Keith and I even though we have a lot of great chemistry together as podcast hosts, we have very differing opinions on things. Yeah.
What must that be like, John? I wouldn't know.
I mean, the three of us, we pretty much agree on absolutely everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, it would be nice if someone agreed with me on Mihawk, but whatever, fine.
Hey, I enjoyed Hawkeye a lot.
Thanks, John. And
listen, if you try to kill Zora, I'm not voting for you for MVP.
I'm surprised you don't think he's the piece of the shit for the episode, Whitney, since he tried to kill Zora.
I don't know. Nami's been around longer. I feel like she's supposed to be like a normal person, not a pirate. Like, you can almost forgive a pirate for being a piece of shit, right? not a person.
Sure. Yeah.
But can Hawkeye really be considered a pirate since he has no crew? He just has this tiny little ship with a couple of green candles.
I mean, does he need a crew? He doesn't really seem to need one.
Well, to be a pirate, do you need a crew, though?
I don't Jack think
Sparrow
so.
I didn't have a crew.
Yeah, that's true as well. I'm saying this. Yeah, okay. Well, we can talk more about Mihawk later.
Rather not.
I think that Derek and Mihawk need to get a room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly. I'm trying to think. So it's kind of funny. The other day when I got to work, when I woke up that morning, I realized that I hadn't charged my phone, or like my phone didn't charge all night. So it was like 4%. So when I got to work a little bit early, I usually get to work pretty early because I live about 45 minutes away from work. So I leave early to account for traffic and stuff. So sometimes it ends up with me getting to work a half hour early or something like that. And so normally I'll just like watch something on my phone or whatever for a little bit, but my phone was about dead. So I decided to stick it on someone's charger at work. So I put my phone over on her desk for a while and let it charge. And I was like, you know what? What the hell am I going to do for 30 minutes? Cause like, I'm the only person in the entire office at this point. So there's like not even anybody I can talk to. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do for 30 minutes? And so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna make a list of my top 20 One Piece characters. Because that was something that Alex and I had been talking about lately. Something we've been talking about our top five and stuff. We were like, you know, this person isn't in my top five. They wouldn't even make it to my top 20 or whatever. So I decided to see who exactly would make it in my top 20, and if there were any shockers. I'm thinking Mihawk was like number 9 for me and number 10 or something like that. Like he was in my top 10 for sure. But anyway, yeah, I do like Mihawk quite a bit.
I want to know if anybody else was thinking what I was thinking when you were like, what am I going to do for 30 minutes? I thought you were going to say you were going to write some fan fiction about you and me.
No, I do have an eye, or I do have a thought of like fan fiction, I guess, that I would love to write to Oda, but whatever. And I've told Alex about it before too, and he thinks it's a fucking awesome idea and it would be absolutely hilarious. But I don't have anywhere to send it to. Well, I really would, but 2 out of the 4 characters that are involved in this fan fiction you have not met yet, and so you wouldn't quite understand it. Otherwise, I would absolutely share it.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I'll just leave it at that. Anything else before we wrap up here? No. Okay. Well, listeners, you can find the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Going Merry Pod. That's MERRY. And you can also support us by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It really goes a long way with getting the show out there, and we all really appreciate it. You know, we want to help everyone learn to appreciate the show more, because honestly it is a really great show, and I think a majority of the people that are now watching it with us for the first time are really, really enjoying it. You know, I definitely know that there's parts that are, you know, annoyances and stuff like that. You know, it happens, most shows have that, but this show definitely does a lot of story building. So we'd like to get the podcast out there more. We want to take this journey with a lot of people that are watching this for the first time. And we want to talk to you all. So feel free, shoot us some messages, leave us some feedback, and we'd love to know your thoughts on everything that's going on. And, you know, you can let me know that Mihawk definitely should have been the MVP over Sanji. And you can vote for Zeff in the poll that we're going to put up when this episode releases. So I'm getting a lot of really dirty looks from Whitney right now. So I am just going to go ahead and cut it off here.
And tell and go on social media and type up how Whitney is wrong about Nami.
Yes. No.
I quit.
I agree. I agree with Nami. I don't think I did say my, but yeah, I agree to give Nami the piece of shit award.
I'm joking, obviously.
That's gonna be the only time Whitney and I agree. So everyone, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic week. See ya.
Bye.
Hello again. Hey y'all, I am adding this in after our previous recording. After we got done recording, I realized that I never said what episodes we were watching for this week. So next week's episodes are going to be episodes 26 through 30. Right now we haven't hit any filler or anything like that. So it's kind of, you know, we've kind of got a pattern going with every 5 episodes, but eventually we're going to get into some filler, and some episodes might be spaced out a little bit depending on how they fall, you know, yada, yada, yada. We just really don't know how they'll fall. But, if for some reason I ever do forget, I'm always going to try to remember as best I can. And I'm going to try to kind of write it down in my notes toward the end. That way I don't forget to say it. But if for some reason I do, I also always add it. Well, try to remember adding it in the description on the podcast. So you can always double check that on your podcast platforms for whatever episode it is. So like in the description for this episode, if you look in the description, it's going to say episodes 26 through 30 for next week. And then I also always put it in our bios and social media. So on Twitter and Instagram, if you just go to our profile page, it'll be in the bio as to what episodes we're watching for the following week. So if by chance I do forget, I have several spots where I can cover myself and still keep you guys informed. Like I said, I'm going to try not to, but it might happen sometimes. So anyway, enjoy the episodes this week, and we will be talking to you next week.